From NPR News in Los Angeles and Slate Magazine Online, this is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick. Coming up, in South Korea, scientists announced the cloning of a human embryo. First, though, in Massachusetts, state lawmakers are continuing a second day of debate on a change to the state's constitution to ban gay and lesbian marriage. They tried to pass two different amendments yesterday. Both would have outlawed gay marriage, though one would have allowed for civil unions. This follows last week's Massachusetts court opinion that gay and lesbian couples should be able to marry. Jammed into the hallways of the Massachusetts State House yesterday, advocates and opponents of gay marriage jostled and chanted and debated the issue themselves. And indeed, the issue has aroused strong feelings nationally. In a CBS News, New York Times poll in December, 61% of Americans opposed a law allowing homosexual couples to marry, 34% were in favor. This issue crosses liberal and conservative lines. Over the weekend, three organizations of black clergy in the Boston area issued a statement opposing marriage for gays, and we're joined now by a man who worked on that statement. The Reverend Eugene Rivers is pastor of the Azusa Christian Community. That's a Pentecostal church in Dorchester, Massachusetts. Hello, Reverend Rivers. Welcome to Day to Day.
Good day. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you. Tell me, why did these groups issue this statement over the weekend?
We have a fascinating debate going on in Massachusetts. And one of the reasons, which has not been adequately covered in much of the press, for the statement issued by the black clergy was their strong objection to the use of the civil rights black struggle analogy in terms of framing the gay marriage issue as a civil rights issue. Many of the black clergy, who were largely indifferent to the debate, were incited and provoked by the indiscriminate and, in their view, sort of ideologically opportunistic deployment of the civil rights struggle, evoking analogies between the gay marriage debate and the struggle which is associated with Jim Crow, lynching, and slavery.
There actually are black people raising that, though. Here's actually a cut of tape that we have. This was on a report earlier today on Morning Edition. This is a state senator in Massachusetts, Diane Wilkerson, speaking on the debate yesterday. Here she is.
I carry the name of that dark and ugly history resulting from being almost equal. I know the pain of being less than equal, and I cannot and will not impose that status on anyone else.
So that's a state senator who is an African-American. She's saying that it's a civil rights issue.
You see, one of the great things about America is that you can be an African-American woman and or individual and be wrong. In her case, she is simply recycling the language which has been used to frame the issue. And what we're saying is that let's have a real, serious, politically, morally, and philosophically serious debate around the issue of same-sex marriage. But we take strong exception to the indiscriminate, undetailed, and use of the civil rights analogy. Let me give you another example. This is similar to Asian Americans who were interned in the U.S. saying that they were making the argument of equivalence in terms of what happened in Germany with the Jews.
You're talking about the Japanese who were interned during
yes,
World War
yes,
II.
Yes, yes, yeah. Okay. While they suffered, there is no comparison with what happened in the Holocaust. And so I'm arguing for a more careful language across the board on all sides. Let's be a little more precise, analytically more modest in the kinds of rhetoric that we deploy to engage in a difficult discussion.
But Reverend Rivers, your group isn't just saying let's change the terms of the discussion. You're saying we should not allow these marriages to go forth. It's not the discussion that's at issue. It's whether or not gays can marry.
Well, that takes us to the next part of the reason why we wrote the letter, which is that philosophically we have a fundamental difference of opinion. If my philosophical presupposition, based on literally a kind of theological anthropology, is that marriage is by definition between a man and a woman, it logically follows, regardless of whether one agrees or not, that I would take exception to any attempt to amend the definition of marriage. That just logically follows.
Why is it? Why is it, Reverend Rivers, that you think that a loving couple that happens to be homosexual and maybe have a long-standing relationship, why is it that they should not be able to marry if they so choose?
Number one, I am for loving couples that are permanent between individuals. I support that. Now, does that require me morally or logically or obligate me to sanction the assertion of that relationship as a marriage when my core philosophic assumption and operational definition is that marriage is between a man and a woman? Let me put the question back to you.
So is it that essentially you think the question is that a marriage, what we mean by the word marriage, is defined by a relationship between a man and a woman, and that's just based on historical
precedent? Based on anthropology, based on the fact that when you poll the planet Earth, that's the normative definition.
Yeah.
And so the precedent, if you will, is not the undemocratic decision of the Massachusetts Supreme Court, but what we know from sort of common sense and what we know in just in terms of comparative anthropology. That has been the traditional definition, which is not to imply that there should not be provision made to deal with the real bottom line issue, which is benefits in the case of gay couples.
But if two members of your congregation come to you and say, look, we feel deeply and passionately about this and for each other, and they happen to be members of the same sex, and I can't believe that you don't have these instances arise from time to time.
Sure, absolutely.
How do you respond to them as a man of faith and as a leader of a religious community?
I'll go further than that.
Asking for your blessing.
As a pastor. Now, as a pastor, listen, young people come to me with any number of things. For example, a young man comes and says, listen, I saw that woman. I just can't control myself. I'd like to sleep with her tonight. I say, brother, I feel your pain. But my empathy is not licensed for you to do what you want to do. You see, the assumption is that to be loving and affirming is to give license to anything someone says. And that's not true. I mean, that's incoherent intellectually for me and morally. Now, should I be sensitive? Of course I should. But it's the sensitivity logically require me or morally require me to license. What if a young person comes to me and says, listen, I'd like to have a loving, caring relationship with a chihuahua. What should my pastoral response be? And if you don't, you're discriminating against me because I want this to be a loving relationship.
Well, Reverend, that's why you're a pastor and I'm a journalist. Reverend Eugene Rivers, pastor of the Azusa Christian Community, a Pentecostal church in Dorchester, Massachusetts. Thank you very much for joining us on
Thank you for your time. Appreciate it.